Hey everyone, Avi Gorin, CEO and co-founder of Marquee, and I want to talk about the customer journey for a second. You never know as a restaurant owner where your guests are truly coming from. End of the day, we do see some patterns around two types of search behaviors, direct versus discovery. Direct search, for an example, would be jumping into Google and saying Cali barbecue hours, right? I know where I want to go to eat, but I'm missing a key detail. I need a little bit more information. Discovery, which is the bulk of searches, is barbecue in San Diego, restaurants near me, takeout near me, right? One of the best ways to be found for more discovery searches is leveraging keywords. Reviews are basically free content for you to leverage. Think about keywords that are relevant to your brand, your location, and include as many of those in your review responses as possible, right? How can you go about doing this? Let's set up reports, utilize tools like Google Trends, find out what's going on in your area and how you can help leverage these keywords and review responses, because someone else is doing that, right? If you need some examples, you could do anything from including summer menu, gluten-free menu, leverage specific menu items like the dreaded and beloved spice pumpkin anything in your review responses, right? Let them know what's coming. Let your reviewers know something they should come back and try. And of course, if all of this just seems overwhelming and daunting because you're already running a restaurant and have enough on your plate, just leverage the team at Marquee to do this for you. We handle all of this. We're experts in this space. We can automate this, so it's just another item that you know you are taking care of. Again, that's marquee.com, M-A-R-Q-I-I, M-A-R-Q-I-I.com. Know you. However, we did recently buy M-A-R-Q-U-I-I.com, so if you do misspell it, we got you. You'll still find us. We can still help you.
What is up, guys? Welcome to Close Monday. My name is Kyle and Sarah, and this is the show for restaurant owners, for chefs, for culinary students, for startup restaurants, anyone brave enough to take on the challenge of running a restaurant and the pursuit of being what we like to call a restaurant entrepreneur. This is your absolute lifeline, your go-to for real-world, no-nonsense, in-depth chats and war stories from people who have been in your shoes. Now, you're all on the same quest here, looking for that perfect solution, that perfect piece of technology that's going to streamline your operations, the killer marketing strategy, the new social media platform that's going to put your restaurant on the map, the rock solid suppliers who've always got your back. But let's not be naive, there's a lot more to this. Most importantly, things like capital raising, making sense of insurance, and playing real estate like a professional. That's all part of the package, and one of my favorite parts, by the way. But what you need to understand is that each one of these challenges, they're really just opportunities. And as industry veterans, myself, my guests, we're gonna bring battle-hardened knowledge and cutting-edge insights to the table every single week. We've been in it. We've had our neck on the line. We've lost money. We've made money. We've had staff. We've lost staff. We know how it impacts our personal lives. We're gonna help you navigate this entire business. Our goal, sole goal, is to give you the information to reach your goals while you stay true to what's most important to you. And what I know, what's important to you are things like quality, hospitality, innovation, sustainability, staying ahead of the curve, staying up with trends, and of course, providing an unforgettable guest experience. So whether you're a seasoned professional, you're a restaurant entrepreneur, or you're a rookie about to jump into your first business, grab a seat, pour yourself a drink, a cup of coffee, put your AirPods on, grab the dog, go for a walk, hit the treadmill, sit on the couch, whatever you're gonna do, we're gonna drop some serious knowledge on you, and it starts right now. Welcome to Close Monday.
Stand still.
Oh man, I'm getting yelled at already. What's up, guys?
It's Monday. Are we big closed intro? Or are we open?
There is no intro. What do you want? What do you want me to dance for you?
I want a big fucking intro.
Dude, I don't have this Cali Media fucking.
What are you talking about?
Around
what
me is that this? I can just, you know what I mean? Like, this is, you know,
you should see Christian Fisher's intro. It's all like animated and it's, yeah, I'm jealous.
You know, to be honest though, it depends on the quality of the guests, you know, Sean? So sometimes
oh, really? Is that it?
This is what happens when friends get on camera and talk into microphones.
And this is what this is where the magic happens.
So no,
the
no context. This is the no context show. No context show.
like you're texting.
Yeah, I don't. Oh, I text with zero context.
None and no follow. There's
zero context. No follow. Hey,
we got to give Kyle some credit though. He live streamed filling out an offer letter, got dressed, got in his car, went to a site, and he basically live streamed his whole day up until this moment. Now he's live streaming it on a new platform, but he basically live streamed his whole day today. I got to follow Kyle around his job today. It was like going to work with
Kyle. How many people watched?
Not very many. It's a very niche audience we're building.
Dude, I've been doing
TikTok. Kyle doesn't even know how to get his TikTok analytics, probably.
I know.
I've been doing TikTok live for a long time. It's definitely it's decreased significantly from when I first started doing it.
Yeah. But I feel like everybody's doing it.
Why? There's a lot more people are doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're all ads.
That's what happens.
Kyle, you got to do this. Every time Sean does a live TikTok, whether I watch or I don't, but I usually am there, immediately upon ending the live, I get a text screenshot of the analytics of the live. So I know exactly how it was doing.
Exactly. I've done a couple of those, I think.
That's how the story tells. It either works or it doesn't work. Proof is in the analytics.
But that's what's happening, right? All these guys are moving to streaming.
Yes.
These live streamers are cool. Dude, the money these guys are making is insane.
Ridiculous. Yeah.
Are you cutting the video? TikTok allows you to cut the video highlights?
From the live now.
It gives you the option.
Not many highlights when you're filling out an LOI, brother. I'd hate to tell you. I mean, Troy's probably the only one who knew what I was talking about. Everyone's like, what the hell is this bald dude doing at his desk? Why am I watching this shit?
He was typing frantically, too.
Hey, I want to get it in their hands, man. That's my belief. If you want the LOI, I'm going to get it to you to review right now. But, it was definitely one of those days. But thank God, man. Now that I went this whole thing about, like, getting the LOI as a template so I can just pass it off to my assistant. But some of these are like corporate ones, so I got to give them a little look over. But God, that's a lifesaver because those things are mind numbing to fill out more than one a day. Yeah. Holy shit. You know, Troy, you obviously don't have the bandwidth to do any real estate stuff anymore, but you're still dabbling in that shit every day.
No, but we're going to make an announcement in the next few weeks, but we're very, very involved in the site selection, review, and approval process for Pepper Lunch. So
yeah,
I'm doing more real estate stuff now than I have in years because I have to look at. Yeah, I mean, I'm reviewing the LOIs, and I mean, it's their business; they still have to put them in. But and they've got realtors, of course. But we're still reviewing them to make sure that everything's included and our riders included and
all that stuff.
Yeah.
Does that get to you until a certain point, right? Like they're kind of on their own until.
We have a weekly review call. So no, we're really on the team and involved right now. And I was, you know, your first 20 stores or so, you got to be like, there's no room for error, right? We've got to be on it. So we're heavily involved. Yeah. So we're bringing on a director of real estate and development, I've worked with before that is a rock star, to manage the volume. Cause right now we've got five franchise groups that are looking at developing 2 to 3 stores in their first 18 months. So yeah, that's who we're working with. So, you got to imagine they're pumping 10, 12 sites at us a week to preview. Oh, yeah. And then out of that, we say 3 or 4 look good. So then we got to go deep dive and it's a lot. It's a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. Are you guys running into like the issues with some of the, landlords in terms of dealing with franchisees or how many units they have? I mean, that's been the biggest
100%, 100%. First time franchisee in this market or new franchise brand that's quote not proven. I'm doing actual sales pitches to landlord reps myself on calls. We're doing a deck and a video for one in Hawaii because it's so important. We're actually spending money to convince the landlord that we're the right thing. And they know us. They already know the brand.
That's interesting. Yeah, we're going through that with one of my clients is Balance Grill out of Cleveland.
Yeah.
CEO's getting on calls all the time.
Yep.
Yeah, so.
Yeah.
What about you, Sean? No LOIs in your future or
no
past?
No LOIs. No.
He just did one. Did you have to do an RFP for the Navy base?
Yeah, that was like a year and a half ago. It was a long time
ago. And that process is torture.
We're doing it right now.
RFP?
Yeah. Well, yeah. The funny thing is they actually, we're lucky that our franchisee knows them, but we're Pearl Harbor, Naval Air Base Pearl Harbor. And we're really lucky. The guy who reads the RFP application actually knows my franchisee. The guy in Virginia, the guy at headquarters knows him. So he feels good about it. But yeah, we're about to do the same thing, Sean. We're in the running to get a kiosk at a food hall at Pearl Harbor.
That'll be amazing.
You like, don't hear anything with that process until you do, right? Like, it's like radio silence until they're okay, we're ready.
Complete. Like, it was one day. No, literally the franchisee's like, hey, can you get on a call right now? And I'm like, yeah, what's up? And we're all on the call together. And he's like, we might have a shot at getting into Pearl Harbor. The McDonald's in that food hall does $3.5 million a year. I was like, okay. In a kiosk. Yeah. I was like, yeah, let's go. What do we got to do?
Sean, what are you guys doing? What size of space do you guys have over where you're
900 going? Square feet. We're taking over an existing KFC. We're hoping it just takes a while to contract, to get contractors that are approved to go on the base, or if they're not approved, then they have to have an escort onto the base. Team did a background check, and that took, you know, a couple weeks to get IDs. So now we can actually go on base with ID. We're really excited about the opportunity. I think it's going to be huge for the brand. We're next to, it's Rubio's, it's Five Guys, it's Panda Express, it's Starbucks, Cold Stone, Pizza Hut, Subway. So, you know, for us to be there, it's a real big deal.
Panda's one of our clients. They're fucking animals, those guys.
But based on what you just said, I mean, I didn't realize, Sean, you're the one and only regional brand. You're the only local guy.
That's it. Yeah.
Wow. I think that's an advantage.
I never even thought about the aspect of security. Right. Yep. Like, so you just can't have.
What about the marketing perspective? I can what am I supposed to say? It's not open to the public. It's only open. It's only open to people that are in active duty or retired.
Or contractors that are on base.
Or family. Yep.
Wow. So I guess I never knew that these naval bases had. I get that these guys paid for food. I thought, or is it all just like, how does it work?
Oh, it's like a little city. It's like a little city. No,
I had no idea. Never been on one. That's pretty wild. So does that give you into other military, like government type spaces? Like, hey, you know, open up in another base somewhere else, or no? Just totally
hopefully
regional.
If we do a good job, if we're good partners, yeah, which we plan on being.
You can get promoted internally. They like you, and the head guys come in from other places, and he's at a base that's high visibility, really high.
Oh, that's a big one.
Yeah,
right?
It's a big deal, right? That base is a big deal. So yeah. Once you're in, you'll start to hear about other opportunities and blah, blah, blah. It's a small world.
So we have, what is that? Red, salmon, and brown. We've got all
you're
the
salmon.
Is that red. a salmon shirt?
It's not salmon. It's red.
That is not red.
To pink than it is like not salmon.
It's definitely closer to pink than closer to red. That's a salmon shirt.
Yeah, I would say that's a pink reddish. Oh, there you go. Look at that.
That's red.
More purple. That's definitely not red. That's yellow. That's yeah, we'll get yellow on. It'll pass for yellow.
Was there a topic we were going to talk about today, Kyle? No agenda? Topic.
No, I have no agenda.
Just going to shoot shit.
Yeah, because, I mean, to be honest with you, the way that this show has gone,
it's closed Monday.
Closed Monday. It's more like just talking to people. And I'll tell you what, some of the best performing episodes are just like this.
The ones that you're pixelated in?
Yeah, the ones
your internet isn't connected.
It's only pixelated because I'm nude.
Oh, you're nude.
Yeah.
That's the blur effect.
That makes sense. It's not a brown.
Hey, Kyle, you should do an episode. All the guys have they're topless. It's a topless episode. Yeah. Everybody takes their shirts off.
I don't think that's not a bad idea. I should have done it in South Beach. We blew that South Beach opportunity last year and this year, I think, Sean. Just FYI.
We did. I just had, I think his name is Lee Schrader. He's the founder of Sobe. I just had him on the show.
A little late, bud.
You know, Guy Fieri did an entire campus of his own at South Beach Food and Wine. He had his own corral, had something, I think, a dozen or so of the Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives brands that, you know, stores he went to over the years.
That's cool.
He handpicked them. So he had his own corral within the food festival.
I'll tell you what, I never, like, visually, when I saw Guy Fieri, I'm like, this doesn't resonate with me, right? Like, and then it started to grow a little bit. And then a buddy of mine is actually on the Food Network, and he told me that he's like the protector of all the people that bring on that they bring onto the network. And he's like, make sure they don't screw up any brand deals, that they don't screw up anything in terms of being with the network. So he's like the den leader. He wants to make sure all these people they bring in are protected, they don't get screwed over. I thought that was really cool. Like, he invites them to their house, to his house rather. So I was like, all right, that's cool. That's very cool.
I like it.
Yeah. I don't know. What's on your mind? Talk to me about what's on your mind. I want to talk about the table thing, obviously, but that seems like the big topic of conversation.
Why don't you kick it off with the table conversation?
All right. Okay.
What are you talking about? Let's give some context.
Okay. So I just opened up TikTok yesterday, and, you know, because these algorithms know everything about you, that was the first thing I saw. So obviously there's like 10 people doing their little screen share thing about it, but I started today while I was waiting for that meeting to start, like, okay, what's the whole story? And now it seems like there's a little bit of a question of what happened with this guy. But so basically, if you guys don't know, the story is there's a restaurant in Boston's North End, which, by the way, is some fantastic food. And this guy was heading up there, had a reservation, gonna go see a show, all this stuff, and he canceled, and they charged him $250, and he disputed the fee, and the lady who owns the restaurant went off on him on social media, in the DMs, and all that stuff. The guy actually maintained, I think, a decent level of composure, but the woman now has seemed like a complete lunatic, like completely.
Well, she went back and argued with every single bad review and every single bad comment, like nasty. But hey, you left one piece of context out. Whether it's true, I don't know. But the guy was traveling in, got sick, and went to the hospital. Supposedly, that's the story I heard or saw. And so he canceled because he was in the hospital, or is it the ER or whatever?
Yeah.
And there was something about he had travel insurance. So what I didn't understand is, why didn't he just claim his travel insurance to pay for his you know, reservation fee? Because that's what it was. It was a guaranteed reservation fee, $125 a person, two people. Mm-hmm. And so what she was pissed off about is that he just disputed it with the credit card.
Yeah.
Rather than come to her. So I don't know. Did he call the restaurant and try to like cancel, try to get his money back, try to get out of the fee? Because, hey, look, I'm in the hospital. Can you work with me here? You know, I don't know. I don't know if anybody knows. Do we really know? The context
I thought his story was, I did call and they said, take it up with your credit card company. So that's where I'm kind of stuck, because I don't know what the actual story is. But then I think she was going back into like some message and it said that he just missed his train and was trying to get out of it. But then he sent a picture from the hospital. I mean, the bottom line is, we've already spent, like, this should have been a 10-second conversation at the restaurant. Now it's like a national story that we're talking about for 15 minutes.
Well, it's hit a chord. I mean, it's hit a chord, but I think she's getting the worst end of it. Like the reason people are pushing it out on TikTok, and the reason people are talking about it is her reaction.
Oh yeah,
her going, look, Zach Oates does it on stage at almost every conference he talks. He talks about his wife getting a nasty gram from a pizza shop owner. You
nasty
know,
gram.
He shot back at her on the review. She wrote a 2-star review, and the owner came back hard and ugly. This is what this lady did. She came back really hard.
Did you just
call it
a nasty gram?
Nasty gram.
Is that a thing?
Yeah, a nasty gram. When you write a nasty note to somebody, it's a nasty gram.
A nasty gram? Have you heard of this, Kyle?
It sounds dirty to me.
A nasty gram. Does it sound as bad as dirty as vexting?
Yeah, vexting just doesn't sit well, does it? It's hard to say.
What is that? What is that?
Video texting is vexting. Troy tried to invent a term and make it go, and I'm getting shit for it.
My nasty gram.
See if there's you better title this episode the Nasty Gram episode.
I thought you wanted to talk about this chick and whether or not she should have got roasted by the universe.
I mean, what would you have done? I mean, first of all, number one, I know this restaurant's small and I get like charging these fees, but there are restaurants in the city that are way more like well-known, affluent, and they charge like $25 a head for this reservation fee, which I think the whole thing
I would be lying to you to say I've never responded harshly back to a 1-star review that I felt was in the wrong. But the ones that I felt in the wrong were times when this person didn't even come to our restaurant. you know, when they were totally out of left field and, you know, throwing the family under the bus or saying something just totally out of context. So there has been times in my 16-year career of responding to Yelp and Google and Facebook. It's hard to maintain a level of calmness, but you have to. Yeah. Like literally our job, we're in the hospitality business, and especially in a digital receipt world. Dude. We live in a digital receipt world. Anything that's in the DMs, you might as well be putting that on TikTok. Might as well put it on Twitter. It has over 23 million views on Twitter alone. That was from the article I read yesterday.
Oh, it's probably yesterday.
I'd like to know what the sales situation is going on at that restaurant at this point.
You know, she's probably got some. She probably has some people who go to like regulars who go to that place who are probably supporting her. But I don't know about the out of towners who are going to be like. I mean,
look, I just don't think it's a good idea to be negative. Not that everything has to be roses and rainbows, but I just don't think, you know, publicly calling out or going after somebody. What good did it or would it have done if it never went viral? Like what you feel better because you told him he was a jerk and next time, you know, do it differently. Like what's going to happen from there?
There was no, I mean, if you think about like that Unreasonable Hospitality book or even like a Danny Meyer type thing, that move would have been like to send flowers to the hospital or something like the complete opposite than what this lady did. I mean, cause I understand her being upset, but in no way does that make or break the night. I mean, if it does, then you got a bigger problem than anybody knows about. You need that $250 to make the night. Yeah. I don't think that's the case, but I don't think we've seen the end of it. I feel like there's going to be something else that comes out of this. I mean, at some point, if she doesn't come out and be like, look, it was a bad day for me. Right. I mean, I think that she has to own it at some point.
I mean, have you ever been charged or have you booked a reservation that had a cancellation fee?
Yeah.
I don't go to those kind of restaurants, I guess.
Yeah, well, when I lived in Breckenridge, it was very common because really small restaurants, peak time periods, maximum amount of revenue they can make. Ski town, people get drunk, high, busy, want to go to a different thing, whatever. They just don't show up. So I think the fee, though, was, like Kyle said, $25-$30. I mean, at a restaurant where it's probably a $60-$70 a person restaurant, right? And so they probably did like half the average cover or something like that.
I don't know. But I found out that she was like a news reporter turned restaurant.
Oh, really?
Yeah. She was like on not Beat Bobby Flay, but something, some Food Network amateur cooking thing and took it to the next level, has some level of success. So I guess if you don't have too much experience, it's easy to fly off the handle with that type of stuff. But I just reading that stuff, I cannot believe she even took that amount of time to do it. So something else was going on there, I think. Something else I was going to talk to you about. I saw this article, I think it's from today, about the surprise winner of this Ozempic craze is any of these places, these QSRs selling like $18, $20 salads because people don't eat. So they're just trying to eat something quick and they're spending all their money on salads. So like Sweet Green, you remember like the old sad desk salad people. It's helping these brands. These crappy salads are starting to fly out the window. So I don't know if you guys,
serve salad, Troy.
Yeah. We have two salads. We have an entree size salad with or without any kind of protein. So a lot of people will do our shrimp, our fried shrimp on it or something, or tofu, but most people just get it without. And then we have a to-go salad. We call it a shake salad. It's kind of like that McDonald's salad in a cup, seaweed salad.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. But our entree salad is beautiful. It's big. It's got a lot of vegetables. It's nice.
Is it $18?
Yeah, how much is that? $15?
$14.50, I think. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Sean, you guys don't have salad. Barbecue salad is like coleslaw.
We have coleslaw. We have potato salad.
All of Sean's salad comes with mayonnaise.
Potato salad.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Cobbler salad.
Yeah. That is a salad I could deal with.
Yeah.
I know. That's like my wife.
Vanilla ice cream dressing. Mm-hmm.
My wife's family is Colombian, so we go out to these Colombian restaurants all the time.
Caramel or caramel?
Caramel.
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 You say caramel?
Caramel. Caramel? Caramel. Is it a caramel apple or is it a caramel apple?
Well, it's not caramel apple. It's caramel apple.
It's a caramel apple.
Car? That's like how you say that.
See, I got you all messed up. Now you don't even know how to say it.
We need like a linguistics expert now on this show.
Is it caramel or caramel?
I don't know. I think it depends on what you're saying.
So the salad shops are getting a bump from the Ozempic people.
Apparently. I mean, I don't know. I'm not a fan.
Can you serve Ozempic at a salad shop?
I wouldn't.
Or is it a prescription?
I think it's a prescription. You can get it anywhere now.
Yeah.
You can get it anywhere now?
Yeah.
Yeah. Street dealer.
It's legalized.
Hey, I mean, it's a thing that just doesn't make you eat, but there are places that have great salad. To me, I don't think Sweet Green's one of them, but let's not go.
Are we going to talk about Chicago or what?
Yeah. Yeah, I saw that video. I can't believe that's one of those things where, like, it feels like I just got back.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like it's coming up. It feels like it just ended.
You know how TikTok will send you an email of like, hey, you did this video a year ago.
Yeah.
Like I just got one of those videos from Andrew Simmons when I went to his place in Ramona at Mama Ramona's and I had Priam there.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Bush.
And I'm like, that was a year ago? It couldn't have been a year ago.
Oh, that was the night before, right?
How fast did the year ago?
Yeah. Huh? You guys went the night before the show. Yeah, I wasn't there for that. Priam was there?
No, that was the first time, actually. That makes more sense. Priam wasn't there. It was the first time that I went to Andrew's restaurant.
What do you know about the show this year? Anything anything new? Like, I haven't seen really too much.
No, nothing's new except for we're putting on a badass party on Friday with Sweet Baby Ray.
Troy's got something.
Got something. What do you got? Breaking news?
I'm speaking on a panel.
There you go.
You're speaking. Oh my god! Do you know how much I love panels?
I know.
I want a panel subscription. Can I sign up for a panel subscription?
To be honest, to listen to.
What?
I'm going to be speaking on a panel with the CMO of Chipotle.
That's a big deal.
That's a huge deal. What's the topic?
Yeah, they, Sean, since last year, we talked to their whole team when we onboarded for the panel, the speakers did. They have put a pretty significant emphasis on education. You know, last couple of years, National Restaurant Association show it was pretty limited, right? Like you did a panel and there was maybe 6 or 8 total pieces of education. I think it felt like this time they've moved it upstairs. So it's like on that balcony, those rooms on that balcony where we shot the show, like above the show, like right in the main hall, you don't have to go in the basement and go all the way to the end of the building.
Yep.
And it seems like a lot more short hit kind of stuff, like 45-minute quick hit stuff. But anyway, they said they're putting a lot more emphasis on education than they have in the recent past.
It's so hard. Like there's just so much going on at that show.
But there's a lot of people too, right? Like if the content looks like it has value, I think it's gonna.
But it depends on how they promote that content too.
Yeah.
Like if I don't know that it's happening, there's no chance I'm gonna go 100%. Find it.
Isn't the restaurant business stressful enough without having to worry about your sales tax? I mean, you didn't get into this business because you're an accountant, right? You got into this business because you have passion. And the best use of your time is to focus on your passion, which is running your business. That's the only way you're going to grow and make more money. You have to outsource things to people and to technology that can make your life a whole lot easier. And Davos Sales Tax is, without a doubt, the number one thing you should do today, okay, right now, as you listen to this, go to your computer right now, go to DavosSalesTax.com and sign up. They will take the sales tax right from your POS and they will pay it for you, okay? No brainer. Plus, it's about $55 a month. $55 a month to have that sales tax stress eliminated from your life. Go there today. The link is in the bio and never have to worry about sales tax ever again.
100%.
Yeah. Like,
and it's got to be compelling speakers that I want to go see. I'll go see you.
Hey.
Mike, drop it.
There you go.
We might have a camera or two.
I was going to say, bring the cameraman. That's all that matters.
We might.
Takeaway last year was the unwillingness from so many people to do like the just walk up and talk kind of conversations. Oh, yeah.
Who was unwilling to talk to you?
95% of the people.
Really?
Yeah.
Like the
I don't know what closed. Did you have closed Monday or did you have your other hat on, the National Restaurant?
I probably had this exact hat on. I think what it was depending on who you catch there, they don't want to say something dumb. You know what I mean? Like they're just like, where's the person who's supposed to be talking about what we're all about? So maybe we got to get
Jimmy
out there.
Kimmel or what?
Well, you know, I did find out now this year I got added touches, those the actual like game show mics, the wireless like mics like this. Yeah. So we got a couple of those. But yeah, I mean,
yeah, I get that, Kyle. You know why? Because all the big bosses are there.
Yeah.
So yes. I don't care what company it is, the head of the top dogs for every company are in the building somewhere. They may not be in the booth, but they're around. And I think you're right. I think there's an anxiety about being like, whoa, wait, I can't be on camera. My boss is here somewhere, right? Like,
yeah. You want a pen? You want a t-shirt? Sign your name here, enter a contest, and you know, check out our platform. Yeah, I think that's about it. But yeah, it definitely has to be, at least for us. We're going to probably, I mean, I still would love to do kind of what we're doing right here, but on a desk there. And then like somebody walks in that you see, like the Super Bowl, or like we always talk about. But I think that conversation, that we need to have that conversation, like you said, Sean, right now for next year.
Yeah.
Yeah. But hey, guess what? We should have that conversation. And I may have the in now with some of these folks because of the speaker thing. You know, the show was just bought. So now it's new ownership. So there may be a change in maybe an idea that they might be more willing. Because, by the way, the group that bought them did exactly what we're talking about. They did a podcast room, a media room at Create. So Sam Okus and those guys did a media room at Create. They had the Branded Guys podcast. They had Carl and Meredith's show, digital, whatever. They had three or four of them. They had three or four of them in the room.
Yeah.
You didn't go, Sean?
Nope.
That's it? End of story?
Jerry Maguire, show me the money.
Well, I mean, at some point,
we've been spending money on this since 2017. Like, we've made significant investment in proving that stories, they don't just happen in real life. They can live on forever on the internet if you capture them and you do a good job of telling the story. I mean, look at the reel that we made for this year's show.
Yeah.
I mean, all of that stuff, we have it forever, like, because we captured it. But if we didn't make that investment to go there and do that, you know, I don't need to. I don't need to prove that it works. It does work.
Well, you and I are on a call with a very prominent group, right, Sean? The other day,
you get lots of calls.
It's shocking to me.
Oh yeah.
The disconnect in terms of dollar amounts and what it takes, particularly when they're reaching out because they are this group that handles this exact assignment for their company. They know roughly what their budget is or what will get approved and what won't. You can take it no other way than feel like you're being taken advantage of.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's like, well, we don't want to do it because it costs too much. How much will you do it for? That much? That's too much. What? Where are we? What are we talking about?
Well, I mean, the problem is that they start small. Like, the problem is everyone thinks in one video. What is one video? What's my ROI if I have one commercial? Like, if I spend $7 million on a Super Bowl commercial, how many units am I going to sell? And that's not what it is. You know, Gary talks about all the time, Gary Vaynerchuk talks about, it has nothing to do with the one commercial. It has to do with, what did you do with the production? How did you allocate all of the creative? Because literally from that one commercial that you got 30 seconds of, maybe something else that you shot that day performs way better on TikTok or performs way better on Instagram.
My behind the scenes video performed better than the actual production video.
It always does.
Pepper lunch shoot.
It always does. And it's not like, it's no surprise.
There's people talking about the food in the behind the scenes video, not the video of the food.
Right.
I've told you guys, you know it, but for anybody that's listening, the amount of times that people tell me that I saw Cali Barbecue on the news, they didn't actually see us on Fox 5. They didn't see us on CBS. They saw the behind the scenes of me tweeting about it, putting it on Instagram stories, putting it on TikTok, or repurposing it after it. Like, they didn't actually see us on the news from the news channel.
Right.
Yes, they saw the social storytelling of us being on the news.
I love that.
Therefore, that's the story.
Well, what's connected with me was when somebody's like, it's like when you go to the grocery store and you're like, buy these ingredients because you're like, oh yeah, I've been wanting to make that. I keep seeing it. I've been wanting to make it. Very rarely, if at all, do people say, this is an awesome recipe. I'm going to go to the grocery store right now and buy all this stuff to make it. It's over time. You see it. That's correct. Then you're like, oh, time, I'm out. I'm going to get it. Like, that's what happens. And yeah, like, I forget what they're calling them now on TikTok, but it basically is saying like low production. It might just be called low production. Low production TikToks like are doing better than highly produced because people like, they get 10,000 views talking about some feedback I got on a LOI.
Stupid.
People want to chime in. Yeah, it's wild.
But, you know, to your point, it's when you and I had that conversation with the big brand that has a lot of money that wants to now invest in influencer content. They want to invest in influencer content. They want the views of the 10,000 videos, but then they also want the behind the scenes drone shot of the, you know, facility and of the kitchens and of the food. And you're like, well, you can't get that. Like, those are two different things.
Yes.
Like, if you want a video of a customer testimonial of somebody talking, you know, on a podcast, on a Zoom that you can put B-roll to, that's one type of content. If you want a full feature article, that's another type of content. For sure. You want a full media team, if you want Rising Tides Creative to come out and have two cameras, three cameras, lighting, audio, all of that is all a different price point. So to like back to the original, why wasn't I at Create? Is because right now can I go and just take my phone, which I do now? Like we went to Stephen Runnow's lunch and we were up there. Troy was taking pictures. I was taking pictures all with my phone. Like, could I have brought Tony or Brandon or Aaron to come and film it? Yeah. I'd have to talk to Stephen and convince him, but like, I'd have to pay for it, which I've done for 7 years. I've paid for it. I know it's valuable.
And guess what?
I have everything that I need to sell now. I need to spend more time selling and less time producing.
Yeah. That's the, it's funny. Like, that's exactly where we were. We're like, okay, you want me to make this video in my car?
Yeah.
Yeah, we can do that. But yeah, you want the whole squad. I mean, around here, man, it's $500 a day everywhere. It's $500 a day to open your eyes. You know, so to get somebody else to open their eyes too, that's another $500. And what are they going to do with their time? Right. So yeah. And plus the post.
Kyle, how are you deciding when you're bringing your D-Rock? What's his name?
G.
Yeah. How do you decide when you're bringing G? Somebody else has got something they want, or you're doing something unique that you want him to cover?
Anything that I'm doing that's probably for a client or to get a client's attention or like a market thing that needs a level of production, because he doesn't produce anything that I would make. So he wouldn't edit any film that I made. So we just did a market tour here. He did that. But anything that I feel like deserves that level of quality, we're talking about doing like an interview series that's more like in a well-lit studio kind of thing, but he gives me a good price, so I can't take advantage, but he's in very high demand now. I mean, he's being pitched like creative director roles now. So it's, I'm not, I kind of screwed myself with that one, putting him out there too much, but,
Well, that's how that ecosystem works, that they level up and they level out of your price point ultimately.
Oh, dude. He's still underpriced, I think, with what he's charging. But he's working with big brands now.
Yeah. So, have you seen Sean's prices?
Yeah. I'm just kidding. That's the deal. That's the family, friends and family prices.
$500.
You should see what I send to people I don't like.
But they know that they're in high demand. I mean, you go on, anyone, Sean and I joke all the time, like, where I'm going to find a guy on Fiverr, but a Fiverr guy is like $1,000 to make 10 clips. Yeah. Fucking high demand. But I guess these guys, what do they do? They just create templates and then drop them in. How else can they make, get all these
good at it? Yeah, they just get good at what they do. I mean, some of it, I think you're right, templates. But a lot of these guys, they just know they know how to do it quick. Time is money.
Do you guys, so what are you guys doing, Troy? You guys have your own in-house team, or do you have to outsource it for every?
It's a mix. So we insourced our creative director outsourced, but outsourced like him, like G, like the same. Well, so Rising Tides. So Aaron and the team at Rising Tides, we do a once a month shoot. Aaron turns around whatever amount we can gather. He turns around videos and photos and reels and with captions and stuff. And then we've got an animator, a graphic designer, a social media community manager who she does short form videos, and then community management. We've got what I call our static social media manager, does photos and GIFs and memes and reels. So all contract except for the one guy in house, but the contractors are all set. They're all on a retainer or a flat scope of work per month, so that we just decided this is what we want to accomplish on a monthly basis. This is the amount of type of content we want to create. And what do we need to get that done? And they all gave us prices and we budgeted it and planned it.
Do you have, I know there's a, like, I hear this all the time from, like, we work with a lot of franchise groups, is the disconnect in the marketing from, like, the corporate and the local. How do you guys handle that?
So right now we don't do local because we're not receiving in. So our existing stores were not originally on a marketing royalty plan. So we don't have any income on that. So everything we're doing now is B2B with what I would call spillover B2C. All the B-roll and content that is good for, you know, B2C, great. We put it out. It sort of fills the gaps, right? So we're not just pounding away about franchising, but it's really all geared towards B2B right now. But next year we'll have a marketing fund. And again, same thing. We're going to use the same team. We're going to have a schedule. We're going to have a plan. We're going to have a shoot shot calendar and, you know, we'll produce kind of two brains at the same time.
That's tough.
Yeah.
That's not easy. Especially all those personalities, man. That's one thing I've learned with the franchise group. So many different personalities.
But here's the deal. So they pay us. It's a national fund. And I've promised all of our franchisees that our goal is to produce campaigns and content and advertising, whatever that is, in their markets to drive customers to their stores. But what am I doing spending money in North Dakota on a snowmobile, you know, sponsorship or something that doesn't, you know, I make money as a brand when my stores make money. If my franchisee makes money, I make money. So spending money anywhere that doesn't make my franchisees more money doesn't make any sense to me anyway.
Right.
Yeah. There's no reason for this conflict and bullshit that goes on, except that there are lots of franchisor brands that like to enjoy that money like it's free money, like it's a piggy bank, right? Like, that's not. Yeah.
Man,
ethics matters.
Yeah, for sure. All right, let's close out talking about tech, because I know there's probably some tech that I'm missing, the restaurant tech. What's new out there? Anything new and exciting tech-wise, Sean?
That's a good question.
The robot thing still happening? Like, what's up with that? That was so hot last year at the show.
It was very hot last year. I don't know. We're still trying to find our robot brand. We don't have. We are currently robotless. So if you're listening to Closed Monday, you have a robot brand. We're looking for a show pony robot that we can prop up and make.
Sean, you got to talk to Kimberly Harris from our weekly meetings, weekly get-togethers.
I should ask her.
She's a rep for multiple. She's a distributor rep, right? So
yeah,
she's
that's repping the problem. Multiple brands. The problem with the robot is the where the marketing money gets allocated into that. Yeah. They allocate it the same way that food distributors do.
Which is
the food distributor, like the French fry company, gets marketing dollars, and then they give the marketing dollars to the US Foods or Sysco or Shamrock or Gordon.
Right.
Yeah.
I gotcha. So the robot, not that it didn't work out. It was something different. It was like a, yeah. But anything else?
Any other
AI?
Yeah. I saw some. What is that? SoundCloud? What's that voice?
Well, that's AI? That's for ordering, right?
Yeah. So that was wild.
Yeah. I mean, most people don't realize there's over 600,000 restaurants in the United States where when you pull into a drive-through to place an order, it's not a human on the other end. And then there's another 100,000 that it's a human that's not in that building. It's a human sitting at their dining room table in Muskogee somewhere taking your order. There's one in Vegas, a buddy of ours, Mehdi, the guy sitting in Pakistan taking your order, you know, and he pays that guy like $10 an hour in Pakistan. That's like $100 an hour. So no, but AI, you know, we're using AI every day. We're using AI in our creative. We're using AI to analyze data and reports, summarize meetings and other types of communication. You know, we're using AI to take and create entire schedules around the content, creative and copy schedules and things like that. So, AI in the restaurant analytics. You know, really, I've done multiple demos in the last week of existing legacy type products that now the variable is whether the AI can, you know, be additive, give you something, can it give you different insights and speed and efficiency that you didn't have before. So Yeah. AI is finding its legs for as far as having value, right? It's starting to find a way to actually have value.
So what do you have? Do you have any AI in your restaurant yet?
I mean, we have the standard AI. We're using the what we have with Clear Cogs with Matt.
Oh, yeah.
Matt's been doing a really good job with the AI. We have Five Out. Five Out integrates with Seven Shifts as well as with Toast. So that's kind of the machine learning side of analytics, which has been something that we're really, really keen on. They're doing a really good job. I don't know. Have you talked to the guys from Five Out?
Me? Yeah, I know. Yeah. Brendan.
Yeah, Brendan.
Yep.
So what do they do? Yep.
I started off as a forecasting engine, but it's kind of developed into more of a total AI analytics, right?
Yep.
Sean?
Yeah, that's correct.
Started off in forecasting sales, and now it's doing more of a holistic data analytics for your business because it integrates with Seven Shifts, Toast, et cetera.
Damn. Yep. That's kind of next level.
But I mean, think about it though, Kyle. Think about back to owning a restaurant, right? And what kind of weird questions would you want to ask on it? You may not be able to think of them right now at any given moment, but boy, we love to Cisco rep walks in, right? And he's like, hey, I got 12 cases of this thing. If you buy it, I'll give it to you for 25% on the dollar.
Yeah.
You know, here's all the ways you could use it. And you're like, AI, how many of these do I sell in a month? You know, how many random questions could you potentially ask to really kind of figure out whether you should change menu items or your LTOs, your weekly specials, right? That kind of thing. So
that's a big one, especially I saw one that was like, you could enter in the AI and say, hey, I have all this extra stuff in my walk-in. What could I put together? What specials have I used before that's had this type of stuff? But still, there's only one piece. Think about my experience as a restaurant owner. There's only one piece of tech that I think about every day and refer to people every single day. You know which one that is.
I do. Yeah. We're going to run another poll this year. So every year in Chicago, we run a poll on the floor. And we find out
now. Yeah.
So if you're listening to this, we need to know, how do you feel about sales tax? Are you for sales tax or are you against it? Do you like it or do you not like it? Your hair stands up. I know.
Dude, it was traumatizing. I probably still the papers year. Yeah.
I mean, the amount of pain and heartache. I just went to Boston. I got back from speaking at Toast's sales kickoff, so about 1,300 sales professionals, and they asked the panel, we had another panel, customer panel, but they asked us each which was our number one partner ecosystem tech tool for the sales reps that they should promote, and we told them it's got to be Davo. I mean, if you're a restaurant owner and you are looking at your tech stack and you don't have a sales tax automation solution, like everything else is like, forget about all the other stuff. I don't even care about scheduling. Like, I don't care about scheduling or pay. Like, you've got to pay your sales tax or you're going to go out of business.
Oh,
like, Davo, it's that simple. It's $55 a month, to automatically schedule and take money away. That's not even your money. It's not your money because I thought it was our money. You look at it in the bank account. You're like, oh, that's, we got money. Like, no, you don't have that money. That money goes to the state of California. That money goes to, local jurisdiction. That's where that money goes. We need to make sure that it goes there. And, that's what Davo does.
Dude,
I wish we had it back in 2008, but we didn't.
What?
I had to learn those lessons the hard way.
Yeah, me too. And I'll give you the quick and dirty, Troy. We thought our accountant, we were super busy. Lines around the block. New York Times review came out. It was nuts.
What kind of volume are we talking about? Busy. I need to know.
We were about 1,000 square feet. We were doing about 2.5 million in pizza.
2.5 million. That's a mighty business.
That's pizza, pasta,
and meatballs. Mighty sales tax.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I guess so.
What sales tax in New York?
Right now, almost 9%. Over 9%, probably.
Oh my God.
Wow.
Yeah. Connecticut 6.3.
Okay.
But so the account, like, here's your sales tax. We're like, okay, great. Filed in the folder. He never paid it.
Oh.
So we got stuck with about $180,000 in fees, fines.
Oh.
Past due. Like, and it was like, hey, if you don't pay this or figure it out, we're going to shut you down. And it got real. I mean, we were like, what? So a lot going on there, but That's why I said if I worked for Dabo, I would walk right into every place down in the West Village, East Village, Midtown. Say, is the owner here? Are there whoever's in charge? Sign right here. Never have to worry about sales tax again. Okay, yeah. Sign it. Just sign it. Because it's just such a no. $55, dude.
Yeah, come
on. $55 in the face of 180,000. Yeah, so anything I would have done to get on that, or I tell everybody about it every single. I actually brought it up in a podcast with this group here. He's like, "Oh yeah, we've been with them for 3 years." Taco really? Project.
Oh wow.
Have locations in New York. Yeah, so that was pretty wild.
Well, if anybody's listening to this and you have Davo or you use Davo, we want to hear your story. So Kyle will get you on the show on Close Monday. I'll get you on Digital Hospitality, but like we need to share some more sales tax stories, but why you switched over to Davo, but more importantly, what you're doing in your restaurant, because this is a community of restaurateurs.
Yeah, my buddy he's starting a coffee truck. And he listens to the show every once in a while to try to get like advice. He's setting up for his wife. And he was like, what's the name of that sales tax company? Because I heard your story one time. And I'm like, I don't want it. Send me the link. And I always ask him, like, what's the link?
It's working, Kyle. Keep talking.
Yeah, that's it. Working. So,
keep talking. So where are you going next? We need some any updates where people that are listening to the show can find Troy. Troy, you're going to be in Vegas all of March?
I'll be at Mertek.
Resident? Troy's residency?
I have a condo
in Vegas.
Yeah, I'll be at Mertek for a couple of days in Vegas here next 2 weeks. I'll be right back in Vegas the next week for multi-unit franchise conference. It's awesome. International Pizza Expo, Bar and Restaurant Expo, and multi-unit franchise conference are all in town. The 17th to the 22nd, basically. Oh, so
yeah, Kyle, get out to the Pizza Expo, bro. I'm gonna be
pretty big ones. Pretty big ones.
Tell your wife you're going to Vegas. You gotta go to the International Pizza Show.
Not a problem. Definitely.
Yeah, run it by it. Run it by upper management. Show. Huh?
I don't need to. I already know where that
you've seen the new baby, right? Like the little one's still pretty little.
Vegas is probably not. I may be able to get down to
do
the
it
city.
For content.
As I'm sitting here right now, she sends me this.
Oh, we lost Kyle?
Like, are you done yet?
Am I done? No, I'm never done.
No, yeah, exactly. When am I done?
I'm never done.
What about you, Sean? You're not going anywhere until May? I just thought you were going to be somewhere.
See you in Chicago, Kyle.
Yeah, I'll see you. I'll be there.
Are you going to be in? Are you coming to Sweet Baby Ray's?
When is it?
Our restaurant influencer party?
Yeah.
Kyle, you got to come.
Friday afternoon. Kicking off the event.
The only reason I couldn't come is because it was my daughter's sweet 16 last year.
That's right.
On that day. So
it'll be her sweet 17?
It'll be her 17. Nobody cares.
Sour 17. Yeah.
Sour 17.
I'll be there, man.
Good. Be there.
Look at that. All three of these guys at Sweet Baby Ray's on Friday night kicking off NRAS.
I'm so
out and meet Deuce Raymond. He's more famous than any of us on freaking
the
YouTube
restaurant
and TikTok.
He is very famous on TikTok.
Yep. And where's he in Evanston or north? He's north of Chicago or somewhere, right? In the suburbs?
He's right outside the airport.
Yeah, oh, wow. Wooddale. Midway, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
All right, gents.
Wooddale.
I appreciate time.
Hey, thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
What do we forget?
We're closed on Monday, open on Tuesday.
Are you guys closed on Monday?
No.
You're open every day.
363 days out of the year.
What are the 2 days? Christmas and
what? Thanksgiving and Christmas. Come on. Turkey Day and Christmas.
All right, fair.
What else?
All right, gents. If I don't see you, I'll see you in Chicago.
See you soon.
We're not going to see you till Chicago?
You'll see me on TikTok or somewhere, but in person, probably not.
You're not on LinkedIn. You barely post.
I know. Post a ghost. This real estate, this year in real estate's crapping up my content game.
Yeah.
Plus, G's got about 5 videos that he owes me, too, if he's listening.
Kyle, document, don't produce. Yeah. Keep going live.
That worked a lot better. I did that the other day.
Writing
too.
An LOI, you go live on your desk. Yep.
I'm gonna do it right now. My response to this other LOI.
I'm
right
gonna
now.
Do something like that, Kyle. I'll figure it out.
All right, gents.
Just
have a good night.
Stand on your desk and go live. Hey, Sean, you have a pretty cool little tripod that it's like a robot, but doesn't, you know, you could just set it there like
I know. I'm going to bring that back. I'm actually going to bring it back for my kids for their YouTube channel that they launched.
There you go. Yeah.
You saw that video where the kid
died. You know what I realized? I'm really good at vertical video now, but I'm really terrible at horizontal video.
Oh, interesting.
Can you take horizontal video?
There's
no, I would never. They're trying to push.
Like, I've got mad vertical video skills, but yeah, like horizontal, like
you can figure it out.
No, because then it gets wobbly and yeah.
You need to get a, what do you call, what is that thing called?
Selfie stick. Troy got me a selfie stick.
He has a an electronic gimbal. I bought him an electronic gimbal stick.
Those are tough to navigate. They're like the gyro gets
tell
all
me about
back.
It.
You gotta get used
tell
to
me
him.
About
you gotta
it.
Get used to him. Yeah.
You gotta get used to him. Yeah. You gotta learn ClickUp. You gotta learn ClickUp to do it.
Sean gets pissed because he's gotta buy ink for a printer. He's not gonna learn about a gimbal. You gotta go to MIT to figure this out.
Sean has people for everything. Sean doesn't buy ink.
It's ridiculous.
I believe
it's ridiculous.
Gents, have a good night. Good afternoon.
Hey, bud.
Thank you.
See you.
Bye.
Later, guys. All right, folks. That's another episode of Close Monday in the bag. Look, if you've been listening and you're still here, it's clear that you're someone who's committed to taking their business and their life to the next level. So just don't let this be something that you just listen to and forget about. You got to take action on what you learned today. And look, I don't ask for a lot from you guys. Here's the deal. If you found any value in this episode, please subscribe. Leave me a review. Not for me, but for yourself. You don't want to miss the actionable insights that we've got lined up for future episodes, the guests who have their story to share. And if you think this podcast could change someone else's game, could change their direction of their business, of their restaurant, then understand that your network is your net worth. So if you share that with people, you start to become, you're the one, right? You're the one they're going to go to, and you start to attract the right people into your life. You attract more people into your business, and that's just the way that it goes. Now for some real interaction. Like I said, if you screenshot that you are listening to this show, tag the show, tag me. I will send you a Close Monday t-shirt. And if you've got a burning question or a topic you want to tackle, like I said, you can always DM or shoot me an email at kyle@4-turns.com. Your question just might be the focus point of a whole new episode. That's it, right? Like that's kind of how this goes. We're always looking for inspiration. So keep your eyes on the prize. Keep your feet on the ground. Stay humble. And until next week, this is Close Monday. And I'll see you soon. Thanks, guys.